Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Well, Lord, today, and in this season that is designed as a reminder to us to give thanks, we do give thanks. And we give thanks this morning for every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ that, Father, you have given to us. We thank you for choosing and predestining us. Jesus, we thank you for redemption, forgiveness of sins, the shedding of your blood, grace, our inheritance in you, and we give you thanks and praise. And Holy Spirit, we thank you today for procuring and securing our salvation in Christ. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to you be all thanks and praise this morning for the great salvation that you have planned, that is ours in Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we do give you thanks today in all things that are in Jesus, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verses 13 and 14 of Ephesians 1, we come to the end of the very long sentence that goes from verse 3 all the way through verse 14 in Greek. And in this long sentence, we have observed verses 3 through 6. That praise is to the glory of the grace of God the Father, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, who has chosen us in Christ, predestined us to adoption as sons, and poured out his grace on us in Jesus. All of that, verses 3 through 6, is to the praise of the glory of his grace. And we have seen in this prayer that it is to the praise of the glory of God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7, in whom is our redemption, through his blood, the shedding of his blood for our sins upon the cross. Redemption, which is the forgiveness of our trespasses, in verse 7. He has given us the riches of his grace, which, verse 8, he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He's made us part of the mystery of this dispensation called the church age. He has placed us in Christ, in the body of Christ, having predestined us to be in the body of Christ. That is His master plan for us. All of this to the praise of Christ's glory. And now in verses 13 and 14, we see the praise to the glory of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit at work, procuring your salvation and securing your salvation. So in verses 13 and 14, as we finish up this long sentence, we'll see three applications of the work of the Holy Spirit in our eternal salvation. That this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Just glance at verse 11. You see, according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. And the question now this morning is, how did God work all things after the counsel of His will, the decree of His will for your salvation? How did God work that? How did He do that? And the answer is His Holy Spirit. That's how He did it. And so that is what we see. So the first application of this work of the Holy Spirit in verse 13 is the application of the gospel of your salvation. This is how the gospel is applied to you. It is through the working of the Holy Spirit. Now, verse 13 tells us, in order to believe, you must first hear. In order to believe, you must first listen to the message of the truth. And verse 13 calls the message of the truth the gospel of your salvation. You must hear. You must listen. In order to be saved, you must hear. Listen to the message of the gospel. That Jesus Christ, who never sinned, lived a perfect, sinless life, fulfilling the law of God. Jesus died a perfect, substitutionary death in payment for your sins. He was buried. That proves He died. He rose again on the third day and is alive, appeared to many. That proves He rose. And offers eternal life to any who believe on Him. You must hear that. And in the hearing of that, something happens in your understanding so that you end up believing it. that something that happens in your understanding is something that the Holy Spirit does in you. The Holy Spirit does this work which elsewhere in the New Testament, Jesus called it the new birth. The Holy Spirit does that so that your spirit becomes alive and you believe. You believe. So that must happen. There must be hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 reminds you that unless someone is sent to preach, there won't be hearing. All of this kind of goes together. You have to hear, so somebody has to preach. Somebody has to be sent. That has to be part of the process. That is how people believe. And Romans 10:17 then says, faith, believing, comes by hearing. And hearing by the rhema, the applied word of Christ. It's not just that you hear the Bible. It is that you hear the application of the Bible to you. And it becomes alive to you. And you believe it. The Spirit of God activates the Word into faith. And yes, you must believe. Here in verse 13, it tells us, having also believed, trusted, you must believe, you must trust Jesus. Interestingly, there are groups who teach because they believe in election and predestination, and so do we, but they believe you don't have to believe in order to be saved. Why? Well, God saves whom He chooses, and He doesn't save whom He does not choose. Okay? But Ephesians 1 says, the ones whom God chooses believe. You must believe in order to be saved. You can't just say, oh, well, if I'm predestined, I am, and if I'm not, I'm not. Well, you know what? If you say that, you're not. You must believe in order to be saved. Yes, that is a predestined, chosen belief. Yes, it is. But you must believe. You hear and you believe. And that is the work of God applied by the Holy Spirit to you. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation, trust Him today. Believe upon Him today, and you will have eternal life. He gives it to you. Say, well, was I predestined to that? Well, here's the answer. If you believe him today, you can know that you were predestined to that. Yes. And if you don't believe him today, you don't know that you were predestined to anything. You don't know. Faith is the way. So you must believe. And believing is the only thing that is mentioned in this verse. Having also believed. Doesn't say anything about works, anything about even your morals. Doesn't say anything about that. Doesn't say anything about committing, surrendering. It says believing. It says believing. Doesn't say anything about accepting. It says believing. Believing. Say, well, do I have to make a decision to believe? Of course you do. Of course you do. But do you know, sometimes people say, well, I got saved because I made a decision for Christ. Okay, here's what I want to know. What decision did you make? I made a decision for Christ. Okay, what decision did you make? And if the decision is anything other than to trust Jesus, your decision was wrong. Say, well, I made a decision to come forward in a meeting. That won't save you. Say, well, I made a decision to be a Jesus follower. Oh, does the Bible ever say that that's what you do to get saved? The Bible says, believe. Say, well, what else? Nothing else. Believing and believing alone brings salvation. And if you try to add anything to it, it's not believing anymore. You destroy it. Say, well, I believed and I did this. And I did this. Well, then you're not saved. Believing alone, trusting Jesus alone for your salvation. And even that is the free gift of God from the Holy Spirit at work within you. So this is what the Holy Spirit does through the gospel of your salvation. Now the second application in verse 13 and into verse 14, the guarantee of your sealing. S-E-A-L-I-N-G. Not C-E-I-L-I-N-G. A seal. The end of verse 13 says, you were sealed in him. You were sealed in him. And what is the seal? The seal is the Holy Spirit. It's God himself, the Holy Spirit, who is the seal. Now, how do we use this word seal? Say, I know, it's the mammal that, does that and eats fish and all that kind of stuff. Okay, but that one gets its name. It's actually short for sea lion, and it's really a nickname. It's not a correct name for it, and it has to do with the sea. That's not the kind of seal we're talking about here. Okay? And you say, well, I know it's Navy SEALs. You know, it's that kind of seal. Well, no. SEAL in Navy SEAL is short for sea, air, and land. Okay? So it's not that one either. So how else do we think of the word seal? Well, there are three basic ways. There are actually more, but three basic ones. To seal is to confirm something as being true or genuine. So, for example, you sign a document in the presence of a notary, and the notary does what? Puts the press on it and seals it, seals the signature. What does that kind of seal mean? That kind of seal says, this document is legitimate. This document is legal. It's true. It's genuine. It's been sealed. Okay, so you're aware of that kind of way of thinking of seal. Now, you might have an air mattress, and it gets a leak in it. And what do you have to do with the place where the leak is? Put a patch. You seal it. And the purpose of that seal is what? To fix it or make it secure. It keeps the air from leaking out of your air mattress. And you can think of all kinds of other ways of using the word seal in that. You know, you have a seal around a drain. You have seals in your car that keep the pressure where it's supposed to be instead of letting it leak out. You have seals around a seal around the bottom of your toilet. You know, there are all kinds of seals. And those seals are designed to what? Fix something or make it secure in some way. So, if you put something inside the plastic bag and it has that strip across the top, you do what? You seal it in. You know, so you hear about that. You seal the freshness in, right, to that bag. Sealing. And the third way of thinking about it is to mark something as one's own property or possession. So if I have a book and I have a little seal and I take that off and I put it on the inside cover of the book and that seal has my name on it, what does that seal, I've sealed that book, what does that mean? It's supposed to say, that's my book. So if you borrowed it, please give it back, right? It's sealed. So We have all kinds of ways of using that. All three of these ways appear in verse 13 and verse 14 in three words applying the three ways. In verse 13, there is the word promise. You were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus sealed me into himself. And what Jesus did or used to seal me into himself was his Holy Spirit, who did that through the promise of salvation, the promise of God, the promise. Jesus sealed you into himself. Now, this seal of the Holy Spirit, does that confirm the believer as being true and genuine? Yes, it's like the stamp that says, okay, you are the real deal. You are sealed. It's also the seal of security. It's both of these things, the spirit of promise. You ask, is my faith real? Is my faith real? Is my faith genuine? And do you know, there are all kinds of people who want to argue, well, the way you find out if your faith is real and genuine is if you persevere in good works later on. No. That is not how you find out if your faith is real or genuine. So, well, how do I know if my faith is real or genuine? Because the promise of God tells you so. It tells you this. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many as are the promises of God in him, that is in Jesus, those promises are what? They are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. The promises of God are yes in Christ, and you say amen, which literally is I believe. Okay. Want to know what amen means? That's what it means. I believe it. Doesn't mean 10-4 Roger, over, even, out, you know, I'm done now. Amen means I believe. I believe. Why? Because I know this promise is for me. It is a yes for me because I am in him. Now, verse 21, 2 Corinthians 1:21. He who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also did what? Sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge, which is the next word that we will get to. The seal of the Holy Spirit confirming that your faith is the real deal. The Holy Spirit does that. You can't do it by your works or effort. You can't. Say, well, I got saved by faith, but now I know I'm saved because of my works. No. You know you're saved because of your faith. Why? The Holy Spirit tells you so. Now back to Ephesians 1 verse 14, you'll see the word pledge, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Now who is given as a pledge? The Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit who sealed you seals you as a pledge. We could say a deposit, a down payment of some sort. It is a pledge that guarantees the fulfillment of what is yet to come. Now, verse 14 says, the Holy Spirit is given as a pledge of our inheritance. Now, what did we learn last time? When was our inheritance applied to us? At salvation. And so, we have seen, verse 11, we already have our inheritance. We've obtained our inheritance. Well then, what do we need a pledge of our inheritance for if we already have the inheritance? Why do we need a down payment on our inheritance if we already have the inheritance? Now, it's not a hard question. It really isn't. It just means there's more to come. There's more to come. This inheritance, say, well, is the inheritance for now? Yes, it's for now. Is the inheritance forever? Yes, it's forever. And the Holy Spirit is the down payment, is the pledge that says your inheritance is not only now that you have and enjoy now, but it is yours forever. This is the pledge that marks something as fixed or secure. I am in Christ. Jesus has sealed me into Himself by His Holy Spirit. Which means what? I am sealed forever. Nothing can break that seal. That seal is God Himself. Say, well, you know, I use some patch glue to fix the hole in my air mattress. Okay, you did. And you know what? A year later, you might have to fix that same hole again, right? That happens sometimes. But with your salvation, it will never need to be secured again, because it was secured once for all eternity when you received it. It's a profound truth. And verse 14, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession. Well, who's the possession? It is the believer in Christ. God's own possession. The Holy Spirit has marked me in a way that says, I belong to God. I am God's own possession. So, you say, well, that's what the verse says. How do I know that's for me? All right, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. Tells you the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Spirit is the seal that says, I belong to God. I'm a child of God. Say, well, how do you know that's true? Well, you know, it's a little bit like asking, are you alive or are you breathing? You know, at some point you go, well, if I say I'm alive but I'm not breathing, something wrong with that idea, isn't there? And if I say I'm breathing but I'm not alive, there's something wrong with that too, isn't there? So, am I alive? Am I breathing? And then someone says, all right, you said yes, you're alive and you're breathing. How do you know? How do you know you're alive and you're breathing? Well, let's see. Okay, I breathe. So that means you're breathing. So how do you know you're alive? I breathed again. Does that mean I'm alive? Well, it must. Why? Because I'm breathing. See, these things are so intertwined that to try to separate them, it's impossible. Experientially, it's impossible. Are you saved or are you believing? Say, well, both. Well, how do you know you're believing? Well, because I'm believing. Well, how do you know you're saved? Because I'm believing. Well, how do you know this? Because the Holy Spirit within me agrees with my own spirit and confirms that that's what I am. Say, well, how do you know you believed in Jesus? Answer, I was there when I did it. You know, this is not a difficult thing to understand. The Holy Spirit confirms it within us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, which we'll get to, tells us that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. So, being sealed by the Holy Spirit, does that say that my faith is real and legitimate? Yes. Does that say that my salvation is secure forever? Yes. And does that say that I belong to God forever? Yes. It says all of those things. All of those things. The sealing of the Holy Spirit is a precious, precious truth to the believer. It is the promise of God to you. Now, the third application in verse 14. The goal of the Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit's goal in applying these things to your salvation? The end of verse 14 says, to the praise of His glory. The goal of the Holy Spirit is that you, as a saved person, a believer in Jesus Christ, that you will honor and give the praise of your salvation to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That you will take no credit for your own salvation. They will. I'm saved because I did this. I'm saved because I thought this. Okay? You're not saved because you did or thought anything. You're saved because of what God did for you on your behalf. And all of the credit for that goes to God. Say, well, I'm saved because I was smart enough to figure it out. And because I'm so smart, therefore God saved me. Oh, really? The Holy Spirit's goal is that all of the praise is to His glory. In this magnificent sentence from verse 3 to verse 14, we give the praise to the glory of the Father's grace, because He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. We give the glory to the praise of the Father's grace because He has elected us, chosen us, predestined us to be adopted as sons by His grace. We give Him the praise for that. We give all of the praise to the glory of the Son, Christ Jesus, in verses 7 through 12. He redeemed us by His blood. the purchase price of your redemption. He redeemed you. He forgave you of your sins. He poured out His grace upon you and lavished you with grace. He made known to you the mystery of His will, which is the church, the body of Christ. And He predestined and chose according to His purpose, His decree, which He desired. He made it that you and I would be part of His church, the body of Christ. And in verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit has sealed us so that we know that our faith is genuine. We know that our salvation is secure, and we know that we are forever God's. All to the praise of the glory of the Holy Spirit. And when you praise the Holy Spirit, where does the Holy Spirit give all the glory? John 16, 14 says He gives it all back to Jesus. This is triune praise for all that you have in Christ. Are you reminded again of all of these truths that are true about you? All of the riches that are yours in Christ? And remember what we've said, the truest thing about you is what God says about you. You are who He says you are, and you have what He says you have. And these are the things that believers have. So I know it's been a long sentence to get through, but it's a long sentence because there are precious, precious truths here. Heavenly Father, I pray now, if there's anyone here this morning who has not yet trusted in Jesus for their eternal salvation, Holy Spirit, I pray that You will be at work in that person, bringing the new birth, bringing the understanding that they can believe upon You. Spirit, be at work.